much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Welcome to Thought for Your Thoughts. I'm your host, Derry Merbles, sitting in for Nina Joplin, who is touring the country performing a spoken word opera about pear-shaped women.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey, Carson, it's your mom. I read the sickest thing. Two men took mushrooms, you know, hallucinogenic mushrooms, and one guy ripped his friend's heart out of his chest while he was alive and ripped his tongue out of his face while he was alive, his heart and his tongue, and then he baked it or something in the oven. It was just sick. And he was like, oh, you know, I fucking killed my best friend. So don't do mushrooms. Anyway, bye.
And now...
Please open up. We have a warrant. Just kidding. It's us. We got you.
Our feature presentation.
That's pretty good advice, I guess.
Don't do mushrooms?
Don't do mushrooms.
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
I mean, you don't want to take out your friend's heart.
No.
While he's still
alive. I don't want to do that, but I have had a...
Hankering?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I've had a hankering to try all of those things. I'd love to know what they look. Life is short, man. You want to experience a lot of things, right?
Dude.
That's what I'm famous for, is I'm the guy
sure.
who wants to get out there and experience everything.
Yeah,
you
experience it all.
I would like to try LSD one time. I won't, because I'm terrified that it will ruin my brain forever based on that one time, which has happened to people before, as I understand. Am I wrong about that, Lisa?
No, I think you're right.
That's happened, yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to know what it is about heroin that people find so euphoric. I'd love to know what that feels like, but I don't feel like it's worth doing heroin to know about it. I feel like it's better to just wonder about that than to actually try it.
Right. Agreed.
You know,
I thought about all
do.
Of those things.
You could just have a drink.
For a guy who doesn't drink, I don't know that we need to be talking about on the horse.
Why don't you go throw a few back one night and see what that's like? Baby steps, my friend.
Right. I don't know. I've never really had much fascination with that. That doesn't hold that much appeal.
But you have no idea what that's like, do you?
I don't. I've never been drunk.
It's pretty good. I can speak.
But when I hear about the addiction that people develop instantly for heroin, like nothing
right.
comes close to replicating that feeling, it makes me wonder, how great must that feel and what must that be like?
Right. But
again, I'm probably never going to know.
Well, stop saying probably.
You're never going to know.
Let's just take that word out of the sentence, because there's
you don't
no,
know, man.
I do. There's no way in a million years you're going to do any of this.
Unless you're like in extreme pain and they give it to you.
And that'll be more likely morphine anyway.
Yeah, that'll be
which
morphine.
Which I have had and I do enjoy.
Well, you're one up on me, mister.
And he is addicted to. So,
right.
You got that
going. I am going to drink, remember, Lisa. I'm just saving it for my episode of Drunk History.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Dean is going to do Drunk History.
That is the best news.
They accepted my invitation. I mean, my offer to
yes.
do it. They said they would do it. So let's see if it happens in season 3, Drunk History.
Oh, my God.
Hey, speaking of people who make no sense, mm-hmm. Al Sharpton. You ever watch his show on MSNBC?
No.
Not really.
Because no one ever watches MSNBC. It's got to be among the lowest rated program, you know, channels on the air that has original program. It has to be.
I will tell you this, though, Bean, and this fascinates me, and I'm not sure why it's true. When I'm on the road and I'm in a hotel, for some reason, I watch those jail programs at Lock Up and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I
mm-hmm.
think they're on MSNBC. And I'll
watch, I think so.
I'll watch 8 hours of that. And I never watch it at home.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
I don't know why, but that is on MSNBC, but I don't watch anything else on there.
Well, Al does Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. apparently, and he spends – I don't know if you've ever seen him on TV. He's
yeah.
terrible. He never has any idea what he's talking about. He spends zero time researching the issues or preparing for his broadcast or anything like that. And he's just a giant bag of hot air. I think Al Sharpton had his day. I think he did some good stuff, like Jesse Jackson did back in the '60s, toward you know civil rights mm-hmm. activism back in this country. But he's worthless now, and he needs to gain the weight back because he looks ridiculous.
Yeah, some people don't look good thin.
He's a lollipop.
He mispronounced He mispronounces words all the time.
Hey, let's
all
not be time. Too critical of that, though.
Well, somebody, his name is David Rutz, on a site called The Free Beacon, noticed that one of the things that Al Sharpton does on his show is he will interact with the clips, like we do. He'll play a news piece, usually from some sort of a Republican senator or some sort of a conservative spokesperson or something like that. And then whatever the last thing is in the clip, Al will use that to start his rant afterwards. It's kind of a technique that he uses. And somebody edited together, I guess this guy David, edited together a whole bunch of Al Sharpton responding to the clips.
Love it.
And I don't know why, it cracks me up, and it gets funnier the longer it goes. I thought we might hear some of it.
I don't think it's divided at all.
It's not divided at all?
Make some friends.
Make some friends?
We're the party of equality.
The party of equality?
U.S. policy has changed.
U.S. policy has changed?
We are seeing at the same time liberty under assault.
Liberty is under assault?
Democrats are feeling the heat.
Democrats are feeling the heat?
I didn't expect that was going to be my lifetime's work.
He didn't expect it to be his lifetime's work?
I think that will be the demise of our republic.
The demise of our republic?
That just goes on about that.
That's awesome.
Do you want a little bit more?
Yes.
Because I think it's funny.
I'm not for giving ducks and deer weapons to shoot back at me.
Giving ducks and deer weapons to shoot back at you. What does that even mean?
I think they're cooking the books on this.
Cooking the books?
In the way of the people's priorities.
The people's priorities?
Nor do I recall anyone believing that.
He doesn't recall anyone believing that.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you for your question.
Yeah, there you go. The great Al Sharpton, ladies and gentlemen.
That's awesome.
He does it verbatim. I thought you were just talking about it here and there. He does it absolutely verbatim. And I wonder if it's the first time he's ever heard the clip. I really do. But I'm gonna tweet that out so you can see the video of it, because it's actually very, very funny. But there's Reverend Al.
So does he only pick clips that he can agree with or disagree with the last statement?
I don't know. I don't watch his show. But somebody did find that trend and put him together. I think it's great.
That's a genius job right there. All right, let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You with the wrong.
It's Thursday, the 16th of October. Shoot. On the program today, we have Scott Aukerman coming in.
Yes. Love him.
Love him. His show is the most nonsense on TV, I think.
His show might be the closest to what it's like to do LSD and watch TV.
Yeah, you're getting that when you watch Comedy Bang Bang. So the premiere is coming up soon. So we're going to talk to him today. We have Dr. Drew on the program to ask him why he's lying to us about the Ebola.
Okay. Seriously. Jeez.
We have some more new music.
Maybe off the air he'll tell us the truth.
We have some more new music for Halloween. We're going to debut for you today.
Excellent.
We have Joel Edgerton, who is in the new movie Felony. Very excited about that. We have a guy who has sex with automobiles coming up. We have clowns that are upset with.
Can you go back? Yeah, go back to that last one.
American Horror Story. What?
Go back to that last one. What was before the clowns? A guy who has sex
Edgerton?
With what? No, sex
in
with,
between.
With who?
Sex with automobiles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that.
He has sex with automobiles? Thank you, Al Sharpton.
Well done, Lisa.
Lisa Sharpton. And a brand new internet roundup this morning. Plus, we have your tickets for Hilarity for Charity, which is Sarah Silverman and Seth Rogen and Craig Robinson and Bill Burr and a whole
bunch
more.
Crazy.
So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
It's Garmy time.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Excited to be here?
Yeah. Big news yesterday. You guys, it was all over the internet. Blew up.
I think I saw the news that you were talking about, but I did not read any of the details because I knew that you would be filling us in this morning.
Hot fudge, holy moly time!
That wasn't me. Try it again. It's weird.
Hot fudge, holy moly time!
Yeah! Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on?
Warner Brothers and DC announced their slate of DC comic book movies through 2020. 10 new movies are coming out.
Wow.
Between now and 2020 for DC. It kicks off with Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice in 2016. Then a Suicide Squad movie in 2016. Boom.
What's...
Oh, don't start.
Suicide Boys? What is it?
Squad.
Suicide Squad. Sorry.
Suicide Squad.
Sorry.
Amanda Waller? Ring a bell?
No.
Floyd Lawton? Deadshot? Hello?
No.
You watch Arrow? You watch Arrow,
I do.
TV show Arrow?
I do.
Do you know Amanda Waller, the character I'm talking about, the African-American lady who runs that division of the secret
government
organization?
Uh-huh.
She runs a group called the Suicide Squad. Floyd Lawton, the Deadshot, is one of the people who runs missions for her.
Okay.
Depending on what group they put together, it could be Scandal, could be Ragdoll, could be Bane. Who knows?
Sure.
Suicide Squad.
Do they need a movie, Ralph?
Yes, they do.
Oh.
Every comic book needs a movie.
So their power is that they commit suicide?
No, they have a little bomb in their brain. And if they don't do exactly what the government says, boom.
Oh, I see. They're blackmailed.
Yes.
I got you. All right, my bad.
2017 will bring us the Wonder Woman movie with Gal Gadot.
Okay.
Then, in 2017, a standalone Justice League movie.
All right.
In 2018, we get The Flash and Aquaman in their movies.
I can't wait for Aquaman.
You don't know, man.
Because that's going to
be ridiculous. Start.
He talks to so many fish.
With that hackneyed old, what powers does Wonder Woman, what does Aquaman have? Don't start. Don't make me school you in front of everyone and embarrass you.
I do that enough myself.
2019, Shazam, and another Justice League movie. And in 2020, a Cyborg film and a new Green Lantern movie. Boom, there you go. Live with it. Love it. Roll around in it. Put your stink on it.
And this is in addition to all of the Marvel movies that will be coming out over the same time period.
Yes!
What's the advantage of naming 10 movies now that are going to be coming out in the next few years? I mean, what happens if...
Boner!
What happens if they just collapse? I mean,
what happens if
they start releasing them and they're dogs? Now it's embarrassing to have to cancel all those movies they've already told us about.
You're embarrassing.
We don't need to know what's coming out in 2019.
I do!
Okay.
Because now I can just say, a Flash movie's coming out. I can't wait. That guy runs really fast. Fastest man alive. And Aquaman talks to fish. A lot of celebrities having kids. Zoe Saldana reportedly with twins. People magazine reporting she's going to have twin boys. Soon. Stevie Wonder.
I'm sorry?
Stevie Wonder's going to be a dad again.
He's going to be a great-grandfather again, you mean?
No, Stevie Wonder is going to be a dad again.
Is he?
His longtime girlfriend, Tamika, is carrying triplets.
Oh, no. Whoa. My God.
And he says he cannot wait to welcome his 9th, 10th, and 11th child into the world.
Jeez.
No. Oh, my God. How old is he? Is he 70 yet?
He's got to be.
Right?
Got to be close if he's not, yeah.
Got to be.
Triplets.
Triplets.
9th, 10th, and 11th.
11 kids when it's all said and done.
Maybe not that old, Ralph, because he was 13 when Fingertips came out, and wasn't that in around 1963 or so? So he's probably born around 1950, so he's probably only around 55. Or 65, I guess. He used to be 65, yeah.
Yeah, mid to late 60s.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So he's 66. He's not
70. Triplets, you guys.
It's triplets. Blind. Doesn't matter. If you're not 21 and you have triplets, you die.
By the way, if you're 21 and you have triplets, you might die.
Yeah, and you might age 40 years.
Right.
This is putting Stevie in the grave.
That's
11
not good.
Kids.
Yeah.
He was doing a lot more than just calling to say he loved her. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
he was banging.
I think we know what you're saying.
Banging till the break of dawn. Banging. And I have time for this. I'm glad. The Dead People list is out. Forbes magazine has released their list of top-earning dead celebrities. Always fascinating to me how much people's merch is selling for after they go. Here's your top 10 right here. James Dean, who I always thought was one of the biggies. His estate has earned in the last 12 months just $7 million.
That seems like a lot.
$7 million?
Yeah, how long has he been dead?
He died in the late 50s.
50s, yeah.
So... for being gone that long, he's still making $7 million a year.
But he's an icon. I mean, you see him on T-shirts and posters and figurines and TV commercials. I think the past 12 months, just $7 million. I thought it would be more.
The merchandise alone.
Yeah, well, that's what
most of
you think he's earning it, Kevin. He's not doing personal appearances.
No, I know that.
So the merch, I see every. You walk down Hollywood Boulevard, every window is jam packed with stuff with James Dean on it. So I figured $7 million over the past year is kind of low.
The low. All right.
They made three movies, Kevin. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
Before he died, just three.
It's true. Wow.
Nine. There's a tie, a four-way tie between Dr. Seuss, Bruce Lee, Steve McQueen, and Betty Page. They all made $9 million over the past year. Number eight, Albert Einstein, made $11 million. John Lennon only made $12 million this year.
That's surprising.
That's nuts,
that is
right?
Shocking. With all the records the Beatles sell still?
Yeah.
Wow.
Marilyn Monroe, $17 million. Bob Marley, over the past 12 months, made $20 million. Elizabeth Taylor, $25 million at number four.
Now I know why seven was so low to you.
Let me back up, 24. Ralph, and ask, why do you suppose Bob Marley is making so much money? What's his estate doing so right?
Weed. I saw that Bob Marley weed. It's very popular with
kids.
Kind Bud, yes. Elizabeth Taylor, $25 million at number four. Number three, this should chap your ass. Charles Schulz, creator of the least funny cartoon in the history of mankind called Peanuts.
He deserves it.
$40 million he made in the past 12 months. Over the past year, $40 million for that dead unfunny man.
Wait, the person before him was 25 and he's
Elizabeth
40?
Taylor, 25. Charles Schulz and Peanuts, 40.
Wow.
Think about how much money they're probably making just from the licensing to Knott's Berry Farm every year.
Yeah, Camp Snoopy and whatnot.
That's crazy.
Elvis Presley at number two, $55 million he made in the past year. And at number one, any guesses?
Flavor Flav.
Flavor, I don't believe he's
still alive.
I believe he's not dead. I don't think he's making a lot of money.
I would think Michael Jackson.
The President of the United States.
No. Once again, still alive.
That's a good guess, though.
And more importantly, not a celebrity.
All right, seriously, though.
Lisa was right.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson at number one. What do you think he made the past 12 months? Or just over the past year, what do you think he's made?
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Now, this is earnings, but keep in mind, this isn't like, you know, total value of a state. This is just earnings for the past year.
More than 55.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, Lisa, because 55 was number two on the
56.5.
list. 56.5. So it would have to be more.
I can't imagine.
This is why we play Lick Lisa, because she has that analytical mind.
I can't imagine it's a lot more, because that's a lot. I'd say 60. 65?
Is that your final guess?
70?
Final answer?
75?
Final answer?
Sure.
$140
million. What?
$140 million.
Wow.
In income over the past year.
What? That's nuts.
It is.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, 16th of October. Singer John Mayer is 37 years old today. Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist Flea is 52. Tim Robbins, 56 years old. Director David Zucker is 67. Suzanne Summers is 68. And Angela Lansbury still lives.
She's alive?
Murder, She Wrote. 89 years old.
Whoa.
Today. Wow.
She just keeps on going.
Still working, too. Still on stage.
That's right. She's doing a show right now, I think. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup coming up. And don't forget, keep on listening. Your chance to score front of the line passes for Not Scary Farm every hour here on the Kevin Bean Show all morning long, all week long, hooking you up. Tis the season, don't you know?
Ah!
Yeah. Rolling?
Yes.
Rolling.
What's happening?
What are you doing? Are you feeling funny in your pants again, Roland?
It's the greatest thing ever. It's ever happened in life.
Oh, did you finally get laid?
No.
You got
sex? Stupid sex, no. You have sex all the time. How many times are you going to have a Wonder Woman movie?
Oh, you're excited
about
that.
Oh, you're calling about that? Look, we've covered that. Ralph already talked about that in the showbiz. We're moving on.
No!
No, what? It's not until 2017. How much can we talk about it today?
You can't talk about it enough. You don't realize the importance of what's happening.
I don't think we do, because, like Bean said, it's not for another, you know, 3 years before it all starts.
We live in magical times.
Okay, Roland.
It's all as right. if the gods themselves have lowered themselves from Mount Olympus to walk amongst us.
Or Hollywood now realizes they can make money with comic book movies, so they're going to make them. Bean, don't hurt him. Why are you yelling?
God,
Why are
so
you yelling?
Wonderful. It's so wonderful.
right.
Okay.
Out of all the movies that Ralph mentioned, what's your favorite?
First of all, let's go through it again.
We don't need the whole list. Ralph did it a half hour.
Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, March 25th, 2016. Get your calendars out.
I don't have a 2016 calendar.
Suicide Squad, August 5th, 2016.
Okay.
Wonder Woman, June 23rd, 2017. Justice League! November 17th, 2017.
Okay, we're talking about 2017 now,
the
Roland.
Flash! No one. Flash! The Flash!
All right, The Flash.
A Flash movie. Did you ever imagine it ever in your lifetime you get a Flash movie?
No, but it's also, are we now into 2018?
And it's starring Ezra Miller!
I don't know who that is.
I don't either. but March 23rd, 2018. Then Aquaman, the movie, July 27th, 2018. Then Shazam.
That's Shazam?
Yeah. Shazam, April 5th, 2019. Justice League Part 2, the sequel, June 14th, 2019. Cyborg, April 3rd, 2020. Green Lantern, June 19th, 2020.
I don't know what Cyborg is.
Sorry, I don't need them.
How do you know not the story of Vic Wilson?
I don't know what a cyborg is. Is he a robot?
Obviously.
By definition, he is a human with mechanical parts.
And so part robot, part human.
Yes.
And his powers are the robotic parts?
Yes.
Okay, take it easy.
What can he do? Math really fast?
He's got bionic limbs and a laser beam eye, and he is awesome.
Okay, but it's 2014. You're talking about 2020.
I know. It's so exciting.
I wonder if
Panther
Fight. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Actor Joel Edgerton, who the ladies tell me is quite dreamy, by the way, is the star of this new film coming out called Felony. We'll talk to him in about 20 minutes or so. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. But first, it's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KRock.com.
Interesting.
Internet Roundup. Better turn your sound up.
It's not final, is it?
Internet Roundup on KevinandBean.com.
That's from a very talented listener sending it in for Internet Roundup theme. Hey, we're not listening to Lightning anymore, at least, right?
Yeah.
Dave King in Mexico, good morning.
What's up?
Producer of the Kevin and Bean Show with a great batch of videos you can see at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. This first one is not so much with the audio because it's just a Mozart piece, but you got to see this video. She's a very attractive young woman. Too many tattoos for you, Dave, right? This girl.
Way
Sarah
too
X.
many. Yeah, oh, Sarah X, right?
You're high.
Yeah, but she's a pretty girl. She wouldn't have all those stupid tattoos.
Yep. She basically plays, she plays along with the music with her boobs. She's got enormous implants, and basically she is flexing her pectoral muscles, and it's making her breasts bounce up and down in time with the music. And if you can picture that as you listen to this, you'll enjoy it.
I have a new appreciation
for classical music.
Yeah, one boob's going up.
I have to be honest, that's the only one that I watch more than once.
Another pretty good, right?
Yep.
Here's a guy who's got his own web channel where he puts up videos called Living in Alaska. He does dozens of videos of him driving around doing all sorts of things in Alaska. He and his girlfriend are just crazy about living in Alaska. Well, he discovered something when he decided to skip a rock across a frozen lake. Everyone has done that at some point, right? Skipped a rock across the water.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, this is on ice. So he was just so excited about the sound that it made that it just made his whole day on this video.
And look at that. Perfect skipping rock right there. Here we go.
Whoa, damn, I gotta do that again.
Wow.
That is pretty cool, right? I mean, that is a cool sound.
It's a cool
the fart
sound.
Or the...
Did one of them fart?
Yeah, I think so.
He did.
We have more farting coming up later on in this exact same roundup, too, by the way. It's hard to believe this week we saw two major film anniversaries. Pulp Fiction was released 20 years ago this week, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Fight Club was released 15 years ago this week.
Wow, that long.
15 years.
I watched Fight Club recently, and it holds up.
It's great.
A great movie.
Brad Pitt, Edward Norton, of course, Meatloaf. Honest Trailers decided in honor of this anniversary they would tackle it, and here's the job they did on that.
Strip down and join in their out-of-control punch fests and their anarchy-obsessed terrorist group, where the only thing they love more than violence and chaos is following the rules.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
That's a tough one to do an honest trailer on because it's a really, really good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but can we stop with this whole, hey, it's the 20th anniversary, the 25th anniversary, 26th anniversary, 27th anniversary? Yeah, we get it. Movies get old.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that either.
Yeah.
Although, every once in a while you go, oh, is that long? And that's it. Like, that's my whole interest.
Dave, how would you explain Slayer's Raining Blood as performed by sock puppets?
You just did.
Oh, yep. Man. That looks like an outtake from Syphil and Ollie.
It is a sock puppet singing about socks. Yes, to the tune of Raining Blood. It's very well done. Very funny.
You think Psycho Mike just woke up and he doesn't know why?
Yeah, I'm sure he did. All right. We got to talk about baseball for 1 second here, Kevin, because the Kansas City Royals are the sports sensation of the year. Remember a couple of years ago, I don't remember which Stanley Cup it was that they won, but I think it was the one 3 years ago when the Kings won and they just dominated in the postseason. I think they only ended up losing like one game or something
like that.
Yeah,
they played, I think, the fewest games that had been played to the Cup, yeah.
Well, that's what the Kansas City Royals are going for. They were a team that barely made the playoffs. In fact, they had to beat Oakland in a one-game playoff to get into the playoffs. Then they swept Anaheim, who had the best record in all of baseball. Then they swept the Baltimore Orioles, who were one of the favorites to go to the World Series. So they've won 8 postseason games in a row, and you can just imagine how crazy they're going in Kansas City. They haven't even been in the playoffs since 1985. So there's tons of news stories, and this video comes from a restaurant where they're rolling back the prices to 1985, the last time the Royals were in the World Series. And there's this very attractive reporter, a lady who's in the kitchen, who's doing a story on these burgers that they make. And this guy cannot resist. Some people say sexually harassing. I just think he thought it and he had to say it. Let's see what you think.
Can I try one of these?
Courtney, I would love to see my meat in your mouth. So I've got a burger ready to go for you.
It's not the first time I've heard that.
There is a Westport flea market burger.
Yeah. Like to see my meat in your mouth is what he said to her. A lot of people very unhappy with him as a result of that.
Sure.
Is that over the line, Lisa? Is that too much?
A little too much, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're used to it.
A little too on the nose, if you will.
Yeah, I would think so, too. Yeah.
That's poor reporting.
She has to play along with it because she's doing a report live and all that. But
exactly. All right, I promise you more farts on the news. This is Good Morning Britain. Here's a guy who's getting up from a couch, who he blames it on, by the way. And I think one rips and the lady presenter just can't stop but just falling apart.
Bring a bit of sunshine. That'd be nicer.
Yeah, bit of sunshine.
You all right? Oh, sorry, it's gone again. But it's time for it to go. Can we lose this? That definitely wasn't me.
Don't blame the sofa. Oh, my goodness.
I think the brass section's just arrived. I'm going now.
You leave us with the remnants.
That clip goes on and on, and the lady starts to try to do the next story, and she just can't. She's just laughing too hard. It's very funny. All right. Who watches Jeopardy? Anyone?
No, but I have. I need to feel worse about myself, Bean? No.
Everyone has seen Jeopardy. There's an awkward moment in every show where the host of the show, Alex Trebek, goes up to the contestants, and this is their opportunity to tell a story. And Alex will walk up and he'll say, Dave, I understand you had a fun time at the pyramids. Tell me about it. And then Dave has an anecdote that they've already pre-screened that he tells on TV. It usually takes about 30 seconds. It's a meet the contestants moment. Well, this kid... You're only going to hear part of it. Please go to the internet roundup and watch the whole thing. It might be the most boring story you've ever heard in your life and told the worst, too. Listen up.
During an open-air tour bus tour in Paris, I looked up and I said to my friends, hey, you know the moon looks pretty bright today. And they just turned to me. It's like, Dan, it's not the moon. It's like, it's the sun. It's like, no, guys, it's the sun, but then, It turned out it was actually the sun and not the moon.
Oh, no.
Exciting story.
Oh, Alex no. Trebek is standing there going, I don't know, do I cut him off? Like, what do I do here?
Terrible. How does that make the air? Don't they just cut it? Like,
all right, I would cool. think. I don't know.
And finally, on this week's edition of the Kevin Amin Internet Roundup, Jimmy Kimmel, he gets together with all these guys who do these funny videos. This is a 17-year-old from Connecticut. His name is Kevin Droniak, and he has a very popular web series where his grandma takes him to school every day, and he's got a little dashboard camera, and he always tells her these outrageous things that she believes hook, line, and sinker every single day. Then he puts the videos up, and people laugh about what he's pulling off with his grandma. Well, Jimmy gave him a challenge, that is, tell her the story of Frozen as if it was real. So his grandma is now listening to her grandson talk about Elsa and Anna and all of this kid's friends and all the weird stuff that's happening, and she's buying every bit of it, and it's pretty great.
Elsa was like, oh, love thaws all, so then the love healed her frostbite. But her hair is white now.
Right.
Her hair turned white.
Oh, she's sick.
Yeah, because... getting frostbite, Grandma. She's not a druggie.
Poor Grandma. Poor Grandma. At some point, she's going to stop believing her grandson, right?
Well, one day she's going to find out that every one of those was just him laughing at her with his friends on the internet.
Exactly. It's very funny. You can see that video and all the rest, too, at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup.
Really? Do we
have to? Better turn your sound up. Internet Roundup on KRock.com.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous KRock at 6:52.
Ralph Garbutt is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
I want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night, Kevin Smith and I are returning to the stage at the Improv on Melrose for two shows at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. 8 o'clock is our live reading of our comic book, Batman Meets the Green Hornet, issue number 5. You get an autographed copy of that book, as well as us performing it live on stage with music.
The answer is no.
Special effects and what have you. And then 10 o'clock, it's the return of Hollywood Babylon. We're doing that show again at 10 p.m. on stage at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com to get all your details.
Come to think of it, no.
From O on HBO, Hollywood Babylon, to another HBO, the network, has announced... They're going to be horning in on the whole Netflix streaming thing starting next year, HBO says.
Oh, kids are fans of that?
People like that.
Apparently.
They're going to make their content available online in three ways. They'll sell it through existing cable providers, but they'll also be launching it through partners like Amazon or Google, and they will have a new service modeled after Netflix where you'll become a subscriber and you will get to see all of their HBO content via that.
Great idea.
There will be a time, people.
That's where we're headed.
All television is available at all times everywhere.
Yeah.
And CBS also announced they are also doing a subscriber video on demand service called All Access, which will feature all their current programming. You'll be able to get entire series, full seasons of 15 primetime shows that they have on the air currently, as well as all their backlogs, all their old TV shows, including 5,000 episodes of older programs that are owned by the company, like Star Trek and Cheers and Twin Peaks and CSI Miami. All that will be available on CBS.com and on mobile devices through CBS app for iOS and Android. So
it's kind of the end of television. So many people are cutting the cord now that this is the direction we're headed, it looks like.
Yeah. Good news. Neil Patrick Harris has been tapped to be the host of the 2015 Academy Awards. Neil, who's hosted the Tony Awards 4 times, and he did the Emmys, too, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think so. He's one of the few people that can really pull it off.
He can do everything. He can sing, dance, be funny.
Yep.
Perfect choice. The 87th Academy Awards are scheduled for February the 22nd next year, so we will get
to Ralph, has there ever been an EGOT for hosting?
I don't believe you can win an EGOT for hosting.
Well, I just mean, has there ever been anyone who's hosted all 4 of the major award shows? It seems like Neil's on track for that. Give him the Grammys, he'll be in business.
Yeah, that's true. And Britney Spears, turns out whatever you may think of her talent or lack thereof, she is good for the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino.
Oh, that's working out, her residency there?
Yeah, that hotel was in bad financial shape when she showed up. but she helped turn it around. So far, she has made more than $20 million for that hotel.
Wow.
With her show, Piece of Me, since it opened in December of 2013. And that's why her show has been extended to run through 2017. So you can see her stumble around like a drunken female impersonator. And it's very entertaining, I think.
Did you guys ever go to Britney if you were in Las Vegas?
No. No, I would not.
I don't think so.
It's hard to say, depending on how much I drink.
There's too much to do in Vegas.
Yeah, true.
Hell yeah, I'll go.
No one asked you, Dave.
No one asked you, Dave. Bono wants to say sorry, apologizing.
For?
He was doing a Facebook interview yesterday, and he was asked, can you please never release an album on iTunes that automatically downloads to people's playlists ever again? It's really rude.
That was a big thing, wasn't it?
Sure,
a lot of people
was.
Hated that.
And Bono responded, oops, I'm sorry about that. I had this beautiful idea. Might have gotten carried away with ourselves. But he went on to say that he just wanted to make sure his new tunes got heard by people, and that seemed like a good way to do it.
I think the criticism is unfair and unfounded.
So he's apologizing.
I think it's there if you want it. You don't have to take it if you don't.
Plus, he saved Africa. So why don't you just relax? Africa was in trouble, and now it's all good.
Is it all good?
Yeah. Wow. They don't have any disease over there or anything.
What?
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Hmm.
We were going to ask Bono about that, if you recall, when we had him on our show, but Beer Mug decided to hang up on him instead.
Right.
Thanks,
yeah.
Dude. Okay. Bye-bye.
And right there was where we're going to ask the question. Didn't get a chance.
He was going to tell us how we fixed the Ebola problem at that point.
He was.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Here's what you do about Ebola. You have to take all the... Boom. Hung up on. And Kevin?
Yes, sir.
I've never been happier for you. Congratulations.
Okay. Good. For what?
You live in a magical time. You live in a time of wonder and enchantment.
For
you.
Because
of?
A movie or music.
No, a new restaurant. The new restaurant that's just opened. Kelly Chapman has announced her new restaurant here in Los Angeles, Kevin. It's called Macalicious.
I'm in.
And it serves nothing but macaroni and cheese.
Yay! I love macaroni and cheese. I would bathe in it.
All it serves on their menu are mac and cheese.
Is it just like one thing? You just walk in, they just bring it to you?
No,
or
it's
they have
all
different kinds.
Veggie mac and cheese, bacon mac and cheese, crab mac and cheese, Maine lobster mac and cheese, gluten-free mac and cheese, any kind of mac and cheese you want. You can get it at Macalicious, Kevin. It's a brand new restaurant, and I could never have been happier for you, because for you, it's like an entire restaurant with just a children's menu. You can go there, and you can go there every day, which you probably will. That's usually how you eat. You eat the same things every day.
That sometimes happens.
You can go there and just enjoy yourself.
But it sounds like you'd have to go someplace else for chocolate fudge sundae or banana split or something like that afterwards. It doesn't sound like they serve that.
Well, Kevin's got that in his car. He's got a cooler in his car. He's got several
pre-made
sundaes just sitting in a cooler on the passenger seat.
A soft serve thing there.
Yeah, you're soft serve, all right.
How dare you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote, of course. She was also the voice of Mrs. Potter, you may remember from Beauty and the Beast.
She won an Oscar
Beauty
at some point,
and
didn't she?
The Beast.
Yeah, that's right.
She did win an Oscar, I believe, for Manchurian Candidate, if I'm not mistaken, way back in the day.
God, what a career.
89 years old today. Actress Suzanne Somers is 68. David Zucker, very funny, talented director, is 67. Tim Robbins is 56. Flea.
He's awesome.
He is funny and talented. Of course, from Chili Peppers and Lakers games. He's 52 years old, and singer John Mayer is 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to catch up with Joseph Gordon-Levitt later this hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Scott Aukerman is going to be joining us next hour from Comedy Bang Bang. We'll find out why Dr. Drew continues to lie to us on TV and on radio about the Ebola, which, by the way, is eventually going to get us all. I don't think there's any question about
that. We're all
going
to die from that?
I think so. And, Kevin, you want to tell the kids what's coming up in about 15 minutes? I know you're especially excited about this.
Well, yeah, although our guest is on the phone, but we're going to talk about a guy who has sex with cars. Okay.
Hundreds of cars, right?
700 to be exact.
What
seems to be
whore.
Choosing cars over women is what it sounds like.
And a helicopter as well.
So that's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, our next guest is perhaps best known for movies like, The Great Gatsby and Zero Dark Thirty. He's Uncle Owen in the Star Wars prequels, and he has a new film coming out this Friday in theaters and on demand that I have seen. And I can't wait to talk Felony with our guest, Joel Edgerton, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Joel.
Hi.
How you doing?
We're very good.
I promise I don't have relationships with cars.
Isn't that the craziest thing? And he did it with a helicopter, too. Like, how is that a choice?
Well, it just depends whether the thing is flying or if it's on the tarmac.
Yeah, they can look pretty sexy on the tarmac. Yeah.
So, Joel, you've been acting for a long time, and you must feel like... Well, this is the career that every actor wants, is you get to do these giant productions like Exodus that's coming out later this year, and then you also get to do the tiny little personal movies that you like, and you even get to do stuff like this one, Felony, that you wrote. I mean, this couldn't be going any better for you, could it?
Yeah, it's great. It's a lovely situation. I think once someone once explained it to me, is one for you and one for them, meaning one for yourself, personal, and one for the studios. But, I mean, I kind of don't feel like that. I feel like they're all personal projects. It's just that these ones are particularly personal, the ones that we're behind making.
Are you harder to direct when you wrote it?
It's a good question. It feels weird to speak lines that you've been tapping away on your computer creating for years. No, I'm not particularly. I said to Matthew, the director, when he jumped on board, you know, like, you have to stop deferring to me when it comes to choices. You have to make the movie you want from this. And, you know, as much as I said that, I did stick my nose in a little bit too far every now and then. But, you know, I did have to relinquish the control.
Well, for our listeners who haven't come across the trailer for Felony, it is one of those movies that you can tell you're going to be conflicted about, because you see people on screen that you get to know and you get to like, but they don't always make the right choices, and they're kind of hard to root for. And there's a lot of moral ambiguity, which is always a fascinating topic for drama. Tell me how you came to write this movie of everything that you could have turned out, Joel.
Well, I was really fascinated by this question of you know, people that I read about in the newspaper almost daily that were committing these sort of accidental crimes, and I'm talking specifically or mainly about hit-and-run crimes. They seem to be in the news all the time. I kept thinking, what is it about these people who are otherwise regular citizens of the world who make a big mistake, and then the choice they make afterwards is to run away and hide, given there were no witnesses, rather than stay and acknowledge the damage they caused. And that was really the starting point. And of course, our movie is about a detective who is in that driver's seat. And as a movie, we're asking the audience to put them in that driver's seat. You know, like, what would you do? How do you feel about this question of morality? And it's not so much about the crime, but about what happens next. How do you conduct yourself?
And that's a tough...
As a defined character.
Yeah, that's a tough question based on the fact that the rest of your life is not that. You're not that person. You just did that thing. And it makes it such a harder...
Yeah, because not everybody's a bad person, you know, just because you do that thing. It doesn't mean you were originally a bad person.
Right.
I think it's, but every action you could from the outside define as, well, you did the right thing there, and maybe you did the wrong thing there.
Right.
And these are people who, in the heat of the moment, choose to do the wrong thing, thinking it's the easier path.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've built a thriller around this that involves different detectives and the women involved with this character, who all have a different and very strong opinion about what should be done.
And that is a fascinating aspect of it that, I mean, I was really on the edge of my seat for this Felony. We're talking to actor and writer of the film, Joel Edgerton, here on the Kevin and Sean Hero. Yeah, it's one thing for a guy, and we're trying not to give too much away, but for a guy to do a bad thing and go, well, I don't want to ruin the rest of my life. I'm not that person. I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen. But it's another thing once you go home and confess to your wife, how is she going to react? I mean, you can see, I mean, anyone in the audience, Joel, don't you think can see the wife could go in either direction, and both of them are sort of defensible, depending on the woman, right?
Well, I think all actions are defensible. It's just a question at the end of the day, do they fit into the realm of social justice? And you know, in our case, we talk a lot about the excuses and the obstacles people have to and the reasons people have to not come clean, you know, and we hide behind things like the responsibility of work, say, or the responsibility of keeping a family together. And I guess the question is, in the long run, what causes more damage, to hide the truth and for that to kind of breed and fester, or to actually come clean and do the time. And that's ultimately the decision we leave, you know, in the hands of the audience, really. It's like, what do you think should happen?
Tell us about this dream cast that you could not have been happier with to get for your film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, starting from the top down, Tom Wilkinson has been one of my favorite actors for a very long time.
Same here. I'll watch anything he's in.
Yeah, well, he's sort of like a stamp of quality to me. He's like the A outside of a restaurant. You know, he shows you that there's quality inside the door. And so, you know, he was my dream. And you know, what's interesting is when you're trying to get an actor on board a project, you basically send them the project or to their agent, and then you just sit at home and cross your fingers. And he read it very quickly, really loved it, loved the character, and came on board. I went to Jai Courtney, who's a very massive, in both senses of the word, up-and-coming star, you know, perfect for his role as a young, idealistic cop. Jai's Australian, but he's been working on big movies here like Die Hard 4 and Jack Reacher, and just completed the Terminator, new installment of the Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's incredible. Melissa, of course, George, we loved him on Spartacus, too. Yeah, Melissa George, I was so happy to see her back on the big screen. I've missed her.
Yeah, well, you know, she's been busy sort of having her own family and getting married and stuff. So, you know, we love Melissa, and she's a real favourite of Australian audiences as well. So, and perfectly cast. And she'd worked with the director before, and they had a real sort of love relationship, the two of them, because they'd had a wonderful work experience on a thing called The Slap, which is a great TV show that's actually getting remade as we speak, I think, in the States.
It is a terrific cast.
Yeah, it was a dream, and the director's a wonderful man who I tracked down, like I hunted him down. You know, I wrote this script, and I had to find the perfect person to direct it, and Matthew just elevated the material.
I want to mention again that Felony is in select theaters this Friday. How do you feel, Joel, about where we're at in 2014, where a movie like yours is also available on demand, so people are going to be able to watch it at home starting opening day?
Well, I love that because, you know, back when the VOD thing first started coming, I think it had this stigma attached to it. Like, you know, we as movie makers have this sort of, you know, oh, it's going to be a straight-to-DVD thing, meaning it's not worthy of being at the cinemas. But these days people are watching movies and receiving them and downloading them very differently to what I was used to as a kid. There was one way. You go to the cinema.
Right.
You wait for it to come to the cinema, and then you wait for it to come to the video store. And, you know, I feel like if we can't present this movie at the cinemas to everybody, meaning every cinema within reach of every citizen, then they should have the right to watch it in the safety of their own home. And I think that I just want as many people as possible to see the movies that I make.
Great. So, great. Well, we are urging our audience to see Felony. I think they will love it. It is a fascinating movie. It's a great, just full of great performances, and it's the kind of moral dilemma that really does haunt you and stick with you after the movie. Joel Edgerton is our guest. Again, the film comes out this Friday called Felony. A pleasure to have you on the show, man. Thanks for the time.
Hi, thank you. Thank you.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt coming up in minutes here on The Kevin Bean Show for a Thursday morning. First, though, when this story broke yesterday, when the video arrived on the internet, I did not watch it.
Because how could you not?
I wanted to wait and enjoy it this morning.
Oh, oh, so okay. Sweet. People are so screwed up.
You have sex with a couple of cars and all of a sudden you're a weirdo? Is that what you're saying?
The headline is, man has sex with over 700 cars.
See, I get two cars or
you do.
Three.
You get two or three?
I don't get 700. Mm.
Oh, and a helicopter.
So he's not falling in love ever, then. It's strictly physical.
Wrong. He has fallen in love with a bug, Vanilla, which you will hear about in this interview, which is online, which I saw yesterday and fell in love with.
How can you tell me how you make love to a car?
It has to do with the body itself. I've not really been attracted to any kind of, may I say, penetration. It's hugging and holding the shape of the car close to me and actually talking to it a little bit. Mm. And then, of course, physical satisfaction.
This attraction to other people's cars, and you did, you know, you get naked, or at least you did at that stage.
No, I don't get naked.
You did though. When you were younger, you did, though, didn't you?
I had my clothes on. I basically just unzipped.
So with that, you've sort of reserved that for what essentially are the loves of your life, and let's talk about Vanilla, because Vanilla is the love of your life.
She certainly has become special. I got her in 1982.
Okay. And what is it about Vanilla?
I first met her before I got her. She when I lived here in Yelm, they had the local Jehovah's Witness church drive around in a white Beetle handing out literature while they were talking. I couldn't keep my eyes off of her.
I talked to her.
Play music.
But it's not just cars, is it? It's helicopter. You've made love. Well, you've had a threesome, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't own a helicopter. I don't know anybody personally, but I have had several relationships at an airport nearby.
Right. Right. Was that the 3-4 Taurus? There were 3-4 Taurus all parked together.
Oh, that, at one time there must have been 10 or so of them parked in the lot.
Wow.
And there was no lights or anything, but I was excited by the fact they were only inches apart from each other.
Yeah.
You must have been exhausted.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that guy exists.
Okay, so there's no penetration.
Nope.
But there is satisfaction.
Yes, and I think you can take it from
there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Edward Smith, he's 63 years old, by the way. He is a mechaphile, which is what they call people who are attracted to having sex with machines.
There's more than one.
Apparently so. And he joins us on the phone right now, Lisa May.
Oh, my gosh. Hello.
Edward Smith.
Hey, Mr. Smith.
Hello. How are you?
Well, we're good. It's kind of a troubling story. I imagine you get that from a lot of people that you tell.
Well, a lot of people don't understand the love I have
right.
for cars, but it's not for everybody, but it's for me playing music.
And you are, I don't know when that interview was recorded, but you are still with Vanilla, your Volkswagen Beetle?
Oh, yes. Vanilla and I are still very, very much in love. And
is it exclusive?
I think it's exclusive between Vanilla and Vanilla and me. I don't think Vanilla is seeing anyone else. But I had a little Vespa I see on the side.
You have a Vespa?
A little Italian number. She's hot.
Are you okay? Do we call it a bad time, sir?
No, we're fine. MCO.
What?
MCO. I'm fine. It's just I'm Vanilla and I are about to go out.
About to go out?
Yeah, we're gonna go out to have a breakfast.
Okay, so you'll ride in her then.
Yeah. Oh, you're filthy. Oh, I can't believe you'd say those things on the radio. Vanilla's a little slut.
You know, none of us can hear words. We just hear the sound of an automobile.
But listen to her. Oh.
Yeah, you're hearing things.
Oh, you're a dirty whore. You're a dirty whore, Vanilla.
Did you call Vanilla a dirty whore?
Smoke in here now.
Yeah.
She needs an oil change.
Don't burn yourself on that tailpipe.
I need a pants change.
Forgot to mention the guy that had sex with 700 cars was from Seattle. So just throwing that in.
Really?
Yep.
Was it Bean?
It wasn't Bean. Although I kind of see where he's coming from. Hey, tomorrow night, a fantastic event. We've been giving away tickets all this week. We're happy to say the event is now sold out. We're talking about Hilarity for Charity Prom Night, the third annual Los Angeles Variety Show at the Hollywood Palladium. This is the charity that Seth Rogen and his wife run that raises funds for Alzheimer's victims and their families. We're very excited to say that one of the men who's on the bill tomorrow night is on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's our old pal Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Hey, Joe Golet.
Hey,
what's going on, man?
I'm well, man. I'm well. Good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you, too. I laughed out loud when I saw what you tweeted moments ago about to go on the Kevin and Bean Show, #Angelino, #K-Rock, and here's the one that got me, Joe, Hashtag no toys for OJ.
Yeah, man.
Wow. That is going back some ways.
Yeah, I remember those tapes you guys put out, and I would totally buy all of those tapes.
When was that? 94, 95, maybe?
Yeah, well, right, because that one...
no toys for OJ.
It had a Pearl Jam song on it, is what I remember. And so that was probably, yeah, like 90, early.
Well, it would have made sense because that was when OJ, the trial was going on and everything was hot, you know, so that would have made a lot of sense that we did. I think Jimmy Kimmel came up with the name of that, No Toys for OJ. I think that was one of his brain pieces.
You mean Jimmy the sports guy?
Yeah, Jimmy the sports guy. Yeah, that's who we're talking about. And I don't know whatever happened to him after he left radio. It's just so weird. He just kind of like fell off the radar a little bit. So. Well, listen, we got a few minutes with you here, so we want to catch up on some stuff. First of all, let's talk about tomorrow night. Is this the first year that you've done Seth's charity, Joe?
I actually got to be in one of these same events in Montreal just a couple months ago because I was working in Montreal. And they came for the Just for Laughs festival, this comedy festival.
Right.
And so Seth asked me to do it then. And it was sort of a surprise. I wasn't on the bill or anything because I don't think he knew if I would really show up.
Right.
And I played a song, and I did it in French in Montreal, which pleased everyone very
You're
much.
You're such a show-off.
yeah, well, you know, you have to show up. When you're standing in front of 1,500 people and trying to entertain them, it's sort of imperative that you show off a little bit.
I guess so, yeah.
And this is the reason Seth is involved in this charity and the reason he's been to the Hill and testified in front of Congress and everything like that is he's got it in his family, right, or his wife's family? Is that what I'm remembering correctly?
I think the first reason is mostly that Seth Rogen is just a grade-A badass.
Yes, yes, of course.
It's tough to argue.
I mean, have you ever testified in front of Congress? Because I have not.
I have not. No. I don't think they would be interested in anything I have to say.
But they took interest in what Seth had to say. Yeah, I think in his wife Lauren's family, her grandma had Alzheimer's, and it's just a cause close to their hearts. And I mean, it's something that affects so many people, and I think it's a really good cause.
It is. It absolutely is. And the charity raises money to assist the families of Alzheimer's victims as well as for the care of Alzheimer's victims. Again, it's called Hilarity for Charity. You can just go to hilarityforcharity.org if you want to look that up. They certainly, even though this event is sold out, they certainly would appreciate your support and donations. We also are going to give away a pair of tickets for the show tomorrow night right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's make it caller 20 if you want to go tomorrow night. Seth is going to be there with his wife, Lauren. Joe Golev is going to be there. Sarah Silverman, Bill Burr, Craig Robinson, Mayor Hawthorne performing, Kamal Nanjiani. It's an unbelievable lineup. What are you going to be doing on stage tomorrow night?
I'm going to play a song, and I'm not going to probably give away what song I'm going to play right now. But I like to, I don't fancy myself any sort of professional musician, but I have fun.
Is it Brick House by the Commodores?
That's a good guess.
All right.
But no.
No, okay.
It actually, though, I'll tell you, it's appropriate. It, to me, this is a K-Rock band.
Okay. Ooh, a K-Rock band.
That's the only hint I'll give.
All right. How about this, Joe? Is it Because I Got High by Afro Man?
No, that's another good guess. Go ahead.
What is going on with Hit Record? Your TV show is on Pivot now, right?
Yeah, man. We're making season two of our television show. We just won an Emmy, and for season one, and we're now making season two. And the thing about this TV show that we make is it's not like your normal Hollywood TV show where I just make the show and then everyone else watches it.
Right.
The idea is that we can all make it together. So all of our projects are collaborative, and we make short films and music and cartoons and documentaries. And so anybody out there, writers, filmmakers, illustrators, animators, musicians, if you want to come, work on this show that we're making, Hit Record. That's the name of the company. That's the name of the website. Come to our site and check out these collaborations and contribute.
You know, we always make fun of how many reality TV shows there are on where they're looking for the next big fill-in-the-blank filmmaker or hairdresser or singer or something like that. And we always go, man, maybe we've scraped the bottom. Maybe there's no talent left. Maybe everybody who's going to make it has already made it. But then yours come along, and I've watched your show before, and my wife and I love both of the books that you put out. And it's unbelievable how much talent gets in contact with you, how much really great stuff there is out there that otherwise might not get exposed.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for saying that. It's so true. I mean, Hollywood, there are some talented people in Hollywood, but there's so many great artists, especially elsewhere in the world, who aren't necessarily fortunate enough to be in Hollywood or have an agent or have the opportunity to enter into, you know, the established entertainment industry. But these days, with technology, what it is, anybody can, you know, contribute their art from anywhere. And that's exactly what happens. We get ideas, we get perspectives that Hollywood would never really come up with and put them on our shows.
Is it Who Let the Dogs Out?
No, it's not Who Let the Dogs Out.
Right.
That's another good guess.
Shoot.
Is it
Date Rape by Sublime?
Sublime is the closest you've come.
Okay,
sure.
So it's that style.
Right.
You're playing guitar or are you lip syncing? What are you doing?
Yeah, I just get up and lip sync.
He does Hit Me One More Time by Britney Spears. I don't know if you...
That's what I do. I fake sing. I'm just a big faker for a living.
All right. Well, we'll find out. I guess we'll find...
I'll play guitar and sing, and I won't promise that, you know, I'll sing well, but I'll mean it.
You're being modest. You can obviously sing. We've seen you sing lots of times before. You're going to be great. So,
Thank you very much.
Anything else you want us to know before we say goodbye besides letting us thank you for the time today? Anything else you want to – any message you want to spread?
Just that I love you guys.
Ah, you're the best. We love you too. Have fun tomorrow night. Anytime. You're always welcome on the show, dude. We appreciate it.
Thanks, man. It's great to be here. I'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Go to KumoTireUSA.com. Kumo Tire, the official tire of the NBA. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
NBA depends on their tires, too.
Sure.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. 7:52 now. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
I want to give people a heads up. If you have been waiting for Hollywood Babylon to return, we're back tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose at 10 p.m. Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon up on the stage.
No.
And if you can't make that show, if you want to go to an earlier show at 8 o'clock, if you're a fan of Batman Meets the Green Hornet, the comic book Kevin Smith and I did, we do a live performance of that at 8 p.m. with music and sound effects, and you get an autographed copy of the comic book if you want to do that. You can do
I'm not hearing it.
For your info and for your tickets, you can go to improv.com. For more details, and speaking of comic books and superheroes, DC has announced their slate of films, 10 films spreading out over the next 6 years through 2020, and all of your favorite superheroes are there. Wonder Woman film, The Flash, Aquaman, Shazam, Green Lantern, Cyborg, 2 Justice League movies, a Suicide Squad film, and of course the whole thing kicks off with Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice in 2016.
Batman versus Superman, you mean, Ralph?
Verse.
That's what Muggs would say.
That's what we learned from Muggs. It's verse.
And a lot of people are saying, well, what is this all about? Because there's no other standalone Batman or Superman films in any of that.
Those
no more Man of Steels, no more Batman movies. Although it is assumed that they will both appear in the 2 Justice League films that are planned. So you got that going for you. And I'm sure they might show up in some of the other films as well, because, like we talked about yesterday with Iron Man showing up in Captain America 3, and once you get that universe up and running, you do tend to cross paths, as it were. Speaking of superheroes, Kanye West is in the news. Is he a superhero or just a creative genius? I don't know if he's advanced himself to the superhero status or not yet.
Haven't heard it from him, but
it's just a matter of time if he hasn't.
Of course. I'm sure he said it.
He does have a weakness, as all superheroes do. Superman has his kryptonite.
All right.
Batman has his, you know, Mother's Day. About Father's Day. Not big days for Batman. Kanye West, his weakness? Spiders.
Afraid of spiders?
National Enquirer has a story saying that Kim Kardashian has to kill spiders for Kanye West because he is scared to death. And she finds it positively hysterical that she has to take care of the spiders because he's terrified of them.
That is sort of funny. I would make fun
hilarious.
Of him. If I were her, I would mock
him. I hope that's true. It's the National Enquirer, so take it for what it's worth. But, boy, I hope that's true. In the wake of George Clooney's wife, Amal, taking his last name, changing her name from Alameddine to Clooney, there was a new survey by a wedding website called TheKnot.com. It's either a wedding website or a website for people who really like dogs. But it is a survey that they took saying what percentage of women who responded took their husband's last name. 80%. 80% of married women, according to this survey, take their husband's last name. And 100% of women take their husband's will to live.
Wait, is that part of the
survey?
Survey?
Yes,
surprises me. Huh. That seems hard to measure.
How about that?
How about that?
You just talk to the men, Lisa.
Talk to any of your ex-husbands.
They'll tell you.
This is good news. William Hurt is returning to television. He'll be starring in a new series for AMC. It's a sci-fi drama series called Humans. It's set in a parallel world where every family has something called a synth. Synth is a highly developed robotic servant that's eerily similar to a human being.
Which one of us is going to have that first?
Oh, man.
Yes, no. Please.
It would be me.
And it's going to be dressed in a French maid outfit.
Yes, it is.
And it's just going to be creepy to the nth degree in that house for the rest of time.
Is it creepy, though, if it's a robot? If it's not
it's creepier if it's a robot. It's the creepiest.
Because it's just an appliance. It's just like it's like using a blender or toaster.
Right. It's like having sex with a blender or having sex with a toaster.
That sounds normal to you, Bean? Like
or
we're supposed to go, oh, that's
fine. Or having sex with a car or having sex with a helicopter.
I'm just saying that guy made a lot of sense to me.
Just saying, you're that guy, you creepy bastard.
What?
There's Bean's robot manservant when he's surprised from behind while he's doing some light dusting around the house.
Bean's naked.
That's right.
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
William Hurt will play a widower who owns an out-of-date robot who he treats like a son and apparently develops a very close relationship with him. So,
all right.
You got that going for you.
The whole robot family.
And do we need a rebooted Bewitched TV series?
I don't feel the need for that, if you're asking me specifically.
For those of you who don't recall the show, have never saw it in reruns, it was a classic 1960s sitcom that starred Elizabeth Montgomery, who was beautiful back in the day, as a witch who marries a human, and then they move into suburbia to all kinds of hijinks and shenanigans. Because it's hard, because she's a witch, and doesn't want her to use her powers, but she's got to use them to get him out of trouble.
I never saw that. Is this...
You never saw Bewitched?
Is this respected as good TV, or is it bad?
It's beloved.
Oh, it is.
Let's put it that way. It's
beloved, but not great.
It's not considered... Look, the 60s were just loaded up with horrible, horrible sitcoms. But to those who grew up watching the reruns, it's like comfort food. It's crappy.
I don't think Bewitched was horrible, though. I thought it was pretty good.
It's really not.
For the time.
For the time.
It's the same thing over
it's
and
I Dream
over
of Jeannie.
Again.
It's the same.
That's the thing. I Dream of Jeannie, also not a good show. They're beloved. They're charming. So is Gilligan's Island beloved and charming, but none of them are really good television.
You're saying they don't hold up?
No, they're just silly little contrivances. Every episode's the same. She gets into some trouble because of her magic powers, and he gets upset, and then she's got to fix it. Her crazy mom pops in, and she's a witch. And
I will tell you that the reboot movie 10 years ago with Will Ferrell was not good.
Well,
that's for sure.
It was god-awful is what it was. And now they're going to make a new TV series, apparently. So
look,
right. I'm a fan of the original because I think it's charming and fun, and I like to watch it. Because it reminds me of simpler times, but it's hardly good television.
Okay.
And in this day and age of TV shows that are pushing the envelope of the medium of the Breaking Bads and the Walking Deads and the Blacklists and shows that are as good as feature films, can you put on a half-hour sitcom about a witch and a regular guy who are married and she blinks and makes magic things appear?
You'd have to do it pretty well.
I'm saying it's a hard road to hoe.
Yeah, I agree.
Plus, a lot of the charm of that show was her. Elizabeth Montgomery, who played the lead, was just sexy and adorable and a great little actress, and everybody sort of fell in love with her. You'd have to really replicate the casting with someone that you loved that you could love that much to make it work. Anyway, we'll see. Sony Pictures TV apparently hard at work on updating the classic sitcom Bewitched. It's like, could you imagine doing Gilligan's Island now about a bunch of people marooned on a desert island trying to get off?
With a smoke monster and a polar bear?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's very different.
Seems difficult.
That's what. Maybe they'll make Bewitched the drama. She's like a witch, but she like zaps his penis off and everything.
There you go.
He's smooth down there, and he's like, Samantha! Wakes up with nothing in his pants, and she's angry at him, and they start selling meth. She whips up.
What's happening?
I don't know. It's a fever dream. Huh? Today's celebrity birthdays. Angela Lansbury is 89 years old today. Suzanne Somers from Three's Company is 68. David Zucker of the directing Zucker Brothers, directors and writers.
Created Facebook. Very happy with that. That's donated $25 million.
Zuckerberg. Mm. Different. 67 years old today. Tim Robbins is 56. Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers is 52. And singer John Mayer is 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of the most entertaining and smartest guys in comedy today, Scott Aukerman, joins us, the host of Comedy Bang Bang on Comedy Central. No, Adult Swim? Adult Swim, right? Adult Swim, yeah. He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes or so.
Right IFC. Here on IFC. I'm being told IFC.
IFC it is, then. We'll settle on IFC. Right. Scott will be joining us in moments here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, give me some Halloween spooks, mother effer. Come on.
Not enough? Because that song blows, and we're trying to get some new Halloween music so that we don't have to play that.
First of all, we're everybody is playing for second place right now because Halloween Spooks is the greatest Halloween song of
and
all
by
time.
By greatest, you mean worst.
I am willing to admit, though, there is room for other Halloween music. And as we have pointed out many times, a lot of the songs that are considered classics are now, you know, 20, 30, 40 years old. You know, your Monster Mashes and songs like that, even your Thriller, your Werewolves of London, even your AFI song is pretty old at this point. So we're looking for new stuff.
We have some new stuff, some things that maybe we weren't aware of that are a little bit older that people are sending in, but we asked the listeners to come up with some new Halloween music, and I've got a bunch of songs for you here. Aaron Aardvark does a song called Beware of the Giant Squid.
I like it.
Yeah, I think I've heard enough of it, though.
I'm a fan of that sort of music that sounds like it was made in the late 1950s, early 60s, when that was the kind of horror rock that was popular at the time. I like that sound.
The next band is the Dead Fs. I can't say the word.
Okay.
And the name of the song is Mischief Night 2.
Figures donned in black run past the window. Run rampant, and it's the feathers in your blood that are passing.
Come on. How
I like
is
the
that?
Guy doing the sound effects.
That's the same thing as Halloween Spooks. It's nonsense. This one is a song that was made for UNICEF in 2005 called Do They Know It's Halloween?
Oh, now this is a little bit of a classic. This has a bunch of actual big stars on it.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Do you are you familiar with that one? Do you know anything about that one?
No.
I can't remember. I remember that Elvira was on that. I remember David Cross had something to do with that. There was a whole bunch of actual indie rock people, like Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth is on it. I mean, it was kind of cool. It was a charity single that they came out with that I think still holds up today.
The next is Psycho Charger, and the name of the song is The Invasion of the Ball Snatcher, which is awesome. Got that going for you.
All right, good.
I like that song.
There's a lot of good songs.
Phoebe Carter does Spooky Sex.
The ghosts and ghouls and other fools can have their candy corny, but there'll be a pool from all of your drool because you'll be so horny.
I'm good at gold, do what I'm told, never act too bold, but
I love Halloween. It's the one night a year I get dressed like a slut.
Very different from all the other songs.
Very different. Greenbrier Lane we know because they did a song for one of our Christmas albums a while back, Christmas Time in the 909.
Mm-hmm.
This is Greenbrier Lane, The Dead Walk the Streets on Halloween.
Those guys are very talented.
I like that. I like that song. I like a lot of what they do. Dan Hogan now does the pumpkin song.
Once a year, the full moon glooms, children dress in costumes, jack-o'-lanterns come alive and sing this foolish tune. Witches fly upon their brooms, spirits rise from their tombs, creatures of the night will hunt for candy to consume.
Little kitties, all beware of fearsome frights and sneaky scares.
Go from door to door and you'll collect a sweet surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
That's a thing. Not a big fan of that.
All right.
The Forget Me Nows does a song called Monster Party.
Like a feasting day on a going away.
monster party, to the monster party, don't stop!
A little punk rock Halloween music, I like it.
And this guy named Rocky Dennis has done something that I thought previously was impossible. He has achieved the impossible. He has made Halloween Spooks, which is a song I hate the most in the world, worse.
Now, I'm sure his name isn't Rocky Dennis. I'm sure he's taking that name from the character in The Mask, right? That's just what he's calling himself on this?
Correct.
Okay. What has he done to Halloween Spooks?
Well, he's remixed it, and I'm going to play it for you. And I was talking with Omar in the other room. It is amazing how at first it starts out bad, but then at least it gets worse. Here you go. Do we like that?
No.
I don't think it's an improvement.
I like the reggaeton.
Yeah, that's tough to listen to.
That's rough, right?
Yeah.
That's rough.
I feel like we would break terrorists with this song.
Hey, I don't know if she listens, but where's Rosa G? Where's her Halloween song? She made 4th of July so awesome.
Did.
She livened up Labor Day for us with a song. She has to have a Halloween song ready to come out, right?
Well, I think we're in contact with her. We're trying to get her to do it, but I don't know if she's going to have
come on,
time.
Rosa, let's do it. And GMC Faux Show, while we're at it, where's his Halloween song? We should be casually drinking milk on Halloween.
We still have time. It's only the 16th of October. So send in your Halloween music and we will play it on the air.
Look, I'm excited that Scott Aukerman is here. I'm a huge fan of his, but I want to hear Dave explain science some more.
Yeah, that was fun.
I want the rest of that covered. How shaky is our producer, Scott?
He basically just, as an excuse, said, science! Yes. Like he was in the middle of a Thomas Dolby song or something. Science! She blinded me?
It's very funny. Hey, Scott Aukerman, we love him so much as the podcaster turned television star, host, and comedian. The show is called Comedy Bang Bang on the IFC. Give me some of that theme song, would you please?
Yes.
Your tremendous band leader, Reggie Watts.
That's right. I'm in the back. Tapping my knees. A lot of people don't give me credit for that. I just kind of
I've never seen the knee tap.
Yeah, well, we don't show it on the show, but oh. I'm in the audio portion of it, just kind of going.
But for a white guy, you have pretty decent rhythm.
Hold on. You want credit for that?
Yeah, come on. Give me something. And when you say for a white guy, what exactly do you mean by that?
I just mean that we are not famous for our rhythm, Scott. That's all I'm saying. But I think you pull it off. And I think it's just it's all the time you've spent hanging out with Reggie. I just think that some of that rhythm has rubbed off on you.
Yeah, some of the rhythm has. Yeah,
he's so soulful.
He is. He's a soulful guy. You know, it's all the time just kind of spent in the church with, you know, what am I trying to say?
I don't know. I can't imagine what you're trying to say.
It's culturally, I mean.
Well, the one thing I learned about the episode that we're going to see Friday night on IFC is that it's a miracle that Reggie is still with us as many times as he's been hitting the testicles with various things over the years. I mean, he has had a rough go of it, I think.
He really has. He never reads the scripts. I don't know if you guys know that, but
I find it difficult to believe there is a script.
He just shows up to the show and says, okay, what am I doing today? And so that day, we said, oh, we're hitting you in the nuts for approximately 20 times.
I like
it. And he just kind of goes, okay.
He doesn't have a say in it?
No.
No,
I mean, I guess, do we have any say in anything in life? Ooh, I hate to bring up the
deep.
Big question.
Wow, that is deep for us, I think.
Yeah.
Now, Scott, one of the reasons that I am so fascinated with your show is that I know that there's a premise, and I know that you guys have had a meeting ahead of time, but I do get the impression that once you get out there on the couch in front of the cameras, that it's mostly improv.
It is.
You don't know where. Like, the scene in tomorrow night's episode with Horatio Sanz, with his community activist character, for instance, you had no idea some of that stuff was coming.
That's right? Completely improv, yeah. I would say the show is 50-50 improv. Improvisation, the art of improvisation.
Sure.
50-50, we script the storylines that are around it, and then when the guests come out, that's normally improv. We do, with the main guests, so, for instance, this Friday we have Ellie Kemper or Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead or The Lonely Island or people like that. We script some of it, but we intertwine it with improv so it all seems like it's kind of happening off the cuff. But the guests like Horatio Sanz or Bobby Moynihan, people like that, it's all improv and I never know what's going to happen. And with Horatio Sanz, I'm like crying laughing. I mean,
yes.
he is an insane person.
For you to say that is amazing.
At some point, he was talking about, basically, he plays a character who's a community activist who has a program Rubbers for Mothers, which gives out condoms to mothers so they don't continue to have kids, but he also gives them sex toys.
Yes.
And lube. So that was his basic thing, but all of a sudden, towards the end, he started mentioning that it was a TV show. He's like, so when the cameras are filming us, I'm like, this is a TV show? What are you talking about? And that was right before we were going to break. He's just insane. I was crying laughing. It's the only time I've ever kept in me with tears rolling down my face. Usually I cut that out.
There have to be. I mean, you guys are the kinds of people you have on, like Horatio, you mentioned. I mean, you guys are improvers. You have years of experience. But it has to break down sometimes. There have to be times where you go, well, this is a disaster. We have to start over, right?
Well, the first time that Horatio was on the show, he was supposed to play a character that was a monster truck driver who was apologizing for the fact that anytime he would crush cars, there were people in them. And we would find out that he was a mass murderer.
Okay.
And he had killed upwards of 3,000 people over his career.
So he wanted to come clean?
Yeah, he wanted to come clean. So that was what we knew he was going to play.
Okay.
He came out there for a half an hour, never even mentioned crushing a single car. I was like, I kept trying to set him up. I'm like, so, but you're retiring because you have a big announcement, right? He's like, yeah, my big announcement is I'm a truck driver. And then he would just go off on insane tangents about being a monster truck
Scott,
driver.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, but let's go back to.
It's your prerogative.
You don't have a script. It isn't. That's not possible that you write 50% of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the storylines, for instance. This Friday, we have a big Great Gatsby storyline where Ellie Kemper is our guest, and I'm trying.
She, by the way, from The Office is awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing. And I'm trying to. I'm obsessed with her in the same way that in the Great Gatsby. Gatsby, I almost said. Mm-hmm. He's obsessed with Daisy.
Daisy.
And I'm trying to get her to be on my show as the same guest every single episode, and she gets creeped out and leaves. So that part of it is scripted.
Okay.
But the interview part of it is all improv. And so, you know, it's interesting because on a talk show, not this show certainly, but like your normal talk show, your Tonight Show or so, everything is scripted in that. People don't know that. It's not a real conversation that you're having.
There's a pre-interview that the host knows what to expect and what stories to fish for, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty much, it's very, very tightly scripted.
Hey, I heard you went to Jamaica, huh? What happened there?
Someone told me. Yeah, your producer told you. But on our show is one of the only shows that has no pre-interview at all. The people come out, they sit down, and I the only thing I say to them is just try to have fun with it. Try to say yes to everything. So with Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead, if I say to him, hey, how much of your dialogue on The Walking Dead is improv? Is it 100%? He then knows that he should say, yes, 100%. And then that leads us into a bit talking about how all of his lines are improv and the stupid lines that he's said over the years that he's made up. So it's a really interesting show because it's unlike anything that you would ever see on TV.
It's unlike anything else on TV. That is for sure.
Thanks.
Speaking of Steven Yeun, I know we have to take a break with Scott Aukerman here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, but I want to play this clip from the show. Now, are both of these episodes we've been talking about, are they both airing tomorrow night, the Ellie Kemper and the Steven Yeun episode?
Ellie Kemper one is airing tomorrow. The Steven Yeun one people can see online right now if they go to IFC.com.
Okay. Well, I watched it, and here's a clip of Steven Yeun. Of course, he's Glenn from The Walking Dead, and that's what you're talking to him about. And he had some very surprising things that he brought with him to the set.
So, Steven, obviously The Walking Dead is fiction, but what should our viewers do in case there's a real zombie apocalypse?
Well, I think the most important thing to do is have a zombie preparedness kit, which I actually brought my own right here.
Ooh, look at that thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's in there?
Well, first up...
Bam. Look at that, a machete, huh? That's perfect for lopping off zombie heads.
Oh, no, no, you can't use this one. This is not real. This is a prop from the film Romancing the Stone. Bought it at an auction. It's my most prized possession, so I just keep it in here.
Still, it looks kind of sharp. I bet you could stab a zombie with it.
No. Because if you do, then you devalue it from near mint, so you can't do that.
So that's what you need for your zombie preparedness kit.
I was just excited I got to say the word machete. Yes. I tried to put a little Spanish spin on it there.
We've had guests that do that to us for real, and we don't know what to do when they come back at us like that. We just go, okay.
And the first Romancing the Stone reference of the 21st century, too, which I also
thank you so much. We try to have the oldest references possible on the show.
Comedy
I think we're
going to
mention
bang.
Yahoo Sirius at some point.
Season 3, Part 2, Like That's Not Confusing, returns tomorrow night on IFC. More with our guest, Scott Aukerman, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Talking to Scott Aukerman, who will be dead by this time next year if he fulfills his contractual obligation to make as many episodes as he has promised to IFC of Comedy Bang Bang.
Let the show be my legacy.
Seriously.
Well, how many shows are you doing?
Okay, we're in the middle of our 20-episode third season, the second half of which premieres tomorrow night.
Okay.
And then we're doing 40 more for our fourth season. So
you're doing 40?
40 more. So starting this Friday, we'll do 50 episodes in a row all the way through the end of next year.
So how are you doing all the other nonsense that you do in your life, Scott? Are you just having to put everything else on the back burner? There's no more traveling or live shows or anything like
no,
that?
No, the live shows, I'm not going to do a tour until we wrap, probably next summer. But for the podcast, I'm still doing it one or two a week. We just even last night I recorded one of our U2 podcasts with Adam Scott. He and I have a podcast devoted to the band U2, so we record.
Oh, we know.
Yeah.
We are still confused by that one too, Scott.
So we recorded it at 10:30 to midnight last night because it's the only time we could get away.
Were you drunk?
Oh, God, I wish.
Yeah.
This might be an excellent time since it is a topic that has been of interest to our listeners as well. And we had, Bono on, obviously, around the album time and everything. But
that's amazing.
What's your take on the backlash on U2, a band that is among, arguably one of the most popular rock bands in the world that has, with perhaps one misstep, become a little bit of an internet punchline? It doesn't seem fair to me.
I think it's an internet punchline because I was noticing that, a lot of the cool blogs were talking about how, lame they are. But then I would see their albums, just their back catalog, traveling up the charts. And you realize that the internet backlash is probably just 1% of people who kind of enjoy being snarky and talking about it.
And they would be against whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And they're looking for something to make fun of. And,
right.
It's a big story. And so I think that it actually really worked. I think Bono's embarrassed by it. He apologized for it yesterday and looked really sheepish in that Q&A. But
was he surprised, do you think, by the fact that anybody could complain about getting free music?
I was talking about this with Adam last night. I think that he just assumed that it would be giving away an album and everyone would go, oh, thanks. And if they didn't like it, they would just delete it.
Right.
And then the creepy overtones of something just showing up in someone's computer, I think, surprised him because it's like yelling at a birthday cake or something. Like, I'm not going to eat you. I hate you, birthday cake. It's just don't eat it or not,
They didn't turn a webcam on in your home. I mean, they really just gave you
as
music.
Far as
That's
we know.
All they did.
As far as we know, right.
Yeah.
What do you think, as a lifelong U2 fan, what do you think of the quality of the album?
And people have told Adam and I this. We are the only people who have actually judged it on its merits. Because if you actually read any of the reviews on Pitchfork or places like that, all they talk about is the release, how they released it and put it into iTunes. We were the only people to actually talk about it, and I think it's a really good album.
I do, too. I think it's better than their last two or three.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think it's their best since Europa, actually. Or no, even All That You Can't Leave Behind is like half a good album and half not.
Yeah.
I think it's Raised by Wolves. It sounds like awesome war boy era U2. That is a classic, I think. I think it's a really good record and people are not giving it a fair shake because
which is unfortunate.
I started listening to them because of this radio station, playing the war stuff for Two Hearts Beat as One and Sunday Bloody Sunday and everything, and I fell in love with them back in 1982 or so. And it's unfortunate.
But don't you think part of it, sorry to interrupt, Scott, part of it also these days is there's no traction on any new album. It used to be an album came out and then it was an event and it went on for weeks and maybe months, depending on the album. Mm-hmm. All of your friends were listening to it. It was the summer of fill in the blank, whatever the album was that year.
Yeah, I
it
remember.
It seems like it's week to week now. Something comes out and we all talk about it for a few days and then we're on to the next thing. And yeah. Nobody spends time with anything. And I think some of it is that there's so much music available now that we don't have there's no album that we listen to 80 times anymore.
And everything
like
is
we used to.
Everything is niche entertainment now. You know, because it's so easy to get stuff and computers deliver stuff right to us, it's easy to just be a fan of the stuff you like. And there aren't these events like you say. I remember listening to this station and hearing whole albums played back to back, and people would be like, "Oh my god, the new Soundgarden came out," and they would play the entire thing back to back. That doesn't really happen anymore. So what you could say
is that it's
you
our
two.
Fault?
Is that it's your fault? Why aren't you playing this record? No, you could say that the U2 thing worked. We're all talking about it. It's been a month since it came out, and we're all still talking about it. I just wish more people were listening to the music.
Are they aware of your podcast?
I'm trying. Adam has been in a room with Bono and Bono's daughters and not told him about it.
Why?
It's
what? Why would he
get
not?
It.
What?
I don't get it. I am trying to get emails to him somehow. I want him on the show.
Adam is in a room with him
and won't say, "Hey, do you mind doing my podcast?" All I want from Bono, if you're listening to this, Bono, and I'm sure you are.
I'm sure he is.
I just want 2 hours of your time. Just a 2-hour interview. That's all I want.
That's it.
Just 2 hours.
Does he have to bring anything?
Yes. I want you to bring some t-shirts.
Okay.
Bring some U2 t-shirts. Go down to the warehouse and just pick up some U2. And I don't mean t-shirts that you've worn off of your dirty laundry pile.
Right.
I mean actual quality U2 t-shirts that say U2 on the front or back.
Get those anywhere. That's for sure. I'm stunned that with your celebrity and as long as your podcast has
you're
been
being
around,
very generous.
And as legitimate as it is, I mean, the fact that you're not goofing, that you're actual fans, I'm really surprised that you guys haven't gotten together yet.
So many people have written to me on Twitter and said the only reason that I listen to the new record is because you guys like it
much.
Okay. And I like it a lot. And so Bono should be appearing on our podcast. We've done more for them than arguably anyone else in history.
Than their publicist.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably.
Yeah.
By the way, we have the Miracle of Joey Ramone coming up. It's a random thing.
That's a great song.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
This is the voice of Scott Aukerman here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, his YouTube podcast that he does with Adam Scott, but also the return of comedy Bang Bang, Season 3, Part 2, returning tomorrow night on IFC. I know we don't have much time here, but you've got some great guests coming up, including our friend Weird Al Yankovic is going to be on the show.
Weird Al Yankovic is on a crazy episode with Eric Andre. The two of them together is really interesting.
Oh, my God.
It's a really interesting episode. It is the craziest episode we've ever done. The most complicated episode. It took the longest to film.
Eric himself is the craziest person.
Yeah,
I've
he's
ever met.
Not. His show is coming back soon too. It's a really great show. We have The Lonely Island in our Christmas special, along with Bruce McCullough from The Kids in the Hall and Alan Tudyk from Firefly.
Nice.
We have Bobby Moynihan and Amber Tamblyn from The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Tell me about your Halloween show, because that sounds like fun. That was the one you were talking about at New York Comic Con.
It's really interesting. It's Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips. He didn't know what he was in for.
Right.
Did he come in a bubble?
he sent us a drawing of a costume he wanted to wear.
Okay.
And it basically looked like a giant hemorrhoid.
You, of course, said absolutely.
Well, we wanted to, but then we couldn't figure out how he would sit down on the couch.
And so that's on him.
So he came as Carrie from the Sissy Spacek Carrie, just blood-soaked Carrie.
Okay.
But he didn't know what he was in for. He kind of sat down and he goes, So, I know what this is. I've done The Daily Show before. I was like, this is not really like The Daily Show.
When he's perplexed by your show.
Yeah, he didn't know what was going on.
That's saying something.
It's a really interesting episode because it's our Halloween episode. It actually airs on Halloween, and it's inspired by like old EC horror comics and Edgar Allan Poe stuff. And
you and Reggie are Wayne and Garth.
We're
right?
Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World.
Of course you are.
Last year we had Pee Wee Herman on our Halloween episode, and we wanted to do something equally as special, so the Wayne Coyne from Flaming Lips episode.
I'm sure people have made this comparison before, but your program reminds me so much of Mr. Rogers with your gentle demeanor, and also Pee-wee, because you seem to be a guy who's just so – what's the word I'm looking for? You're just so naive and innocent and clueless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's Mr. Rogers on acid.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and who knows if he was or not.
That's a good
point. I mean, Mr. Rogers could have been Mr. Rogers on acid.
Right, and all those guys he killed in Nam. Don't forget about them. And all those tattoos under the sweater. Remember those, too.
No, yeah. I mean, it is
a compliment, though, but people it probably is, say you. That. That's the vibe of it, right?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to go for a Mr. Rogers kind of Dick Cavett air with my character, just kind of a genteel, unflappable weirdo. It's definitely like I amplify the most annoying parts of my personality. Reggie is pretty much himself. That's just who Reggie is. And then the guests get to do stuff that they never get to do on any other type of show. You will never see Wayne Coyne do anything like what he does on this show anytime else ever in time.
I think that's true probably of all guests.
I think so too. Well, yeah. It is the beautiful thing is unlike anything else that's on television, and it is great, and the beautiful, and you'll never live long enough to see all the episodes of Comedy Bang Bang, no matter how much you love the show.
We're just going
to
make 90 next year.
First. Yeah, it's an unlimited supply. You can start watching them every day for the rest of your life and you'll never catch up. That's the beautiful thing about it.
But here's a tip, quickly, to watch this show. You're going to get to a point at about 7 or 8 minutes in when you go, is this it? This is the show? Give it that extra 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And you'll be in for 90 episodes.
Or maybe 10 minutes before, light a bowl and just, good. You know, then you won't really care all that
Another
much.
Good tip. I like
tomorrow
it.
Night on IFC. Tune in. Scott, great to see you again, my friend. Thanks so much
guys.
For coming.
I love being on the show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. 106.7 KROQ.
Everyone stop it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57. You're having fun.
I've been back for 3 days.
You're
having an ass full, all of you.
You're enjoying yourself.
Dr. Drew continues to lie to the American people about the Ebola, and we'll call him on it in about 10 minutes or so right here on KROQ with his weekly visit. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Thank God Shepard Smith is here to set us straight.
I've got that tape. It's pretty awesome, right?
I've not seen that.
He is cheesed off.
He's so cheesed off.
People like you, Kevin.
For not taking it more seriously?
No, for the opposite. For talking about it and spreading the hysteria.
But we
you
admit.
You will not get it. Everyone, stop it. That's basically
I hope he
message.
Gets it. I hope Shepard Smith gets the Ebola.
Be pretty ironic.
We admit that we're trying to whip people into a needless frenzy, though. We say that up front.
Just like Drew. Drew said everyone's going to die from it.
He didn't say that, actually.
He said I was going to die from it. I remember that. He said that, okay. Yes.
All right.
Because you were flying right about the time and everybody was getting it on planes.
Segment where you wouldn't turn on my microphone? That was the one where he told me.
I couldn't hear you, so I wasn't sure what you were saying.
You know, I was a dead man. There was no point listening to me anyway.
Correct.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to fix his little red wagon. It's all over. Everyone can relax. Go back to your homes. Nothing to see here.
What's all over?
The beef. The Snoop Iggy beef.
Oh, I was just getting into the Snoop Iggy beef.
I call it the Sniggy beef because I don't have time.
Yeah, careful with that. Who
Snoop
won?
And Iggy.
I understand what
Sniggy.
You're saying. I just know what other people are hearing.
He's just afraid that I'll say it, and then it'll come out really bad.
Who won?
Well, I don't think there's ever a winner in these beefs, is there really? Because the bullets start flying, and then it's just sadness
you
all
take
around.
Damage on both sides.
Exactly. But I guess you'd have to say Iggy won because Snoop has apologized. But let's set it up first. This is what he said in his previous video message where he pretty much was coming at her.
Say, bitch, you f*** with the wrong and your better check you for what I do. You f***, bitch. Yeah, you.
And that was his apology.
No, that was not his apology. That was his opening salvo across her bow, if you will. I'd like to get across her bow, if you will.
That seemed a little strong to me.
Well, apparently Snoop had a long conversation with T.I., who is Iggy's mentor and manager, and they had a conversation. Now, suddenly, Snoop has a change of heart.
Okay.
Here's what he had to say today.
Boys and girls, I just got off the phone with my homeboy Tip, the King of Atlanta, and it's officially over. No more bad talk. I apologize. Yeah, I apologize. I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
Wow.
So there you go.
Wow.
TMZ said they were surprised by the about face, so they called him, and here was the statement he gave TMZ. Tip called me. It's over. I got a lot of love for Cuz, so I let it go. Too much money in my mind to worry about a bitch. So I'm sure, obviously, he really has completely gotten
sounds
over.
Sounds sincere.
I'm sure he means that with affection.
Sure.
As they said on TMZ, but...
T.I. should get the Nobel Peace Prize.
He really should.
Just for settling that whole thing.
That we should get him together with Obama and ISIS and see if he can work something out. Because he's got a gift.
Tip has a gift.
Tip gift. But I'll still remember the Sniggy. The Sniggy beef forever.
Yes, you will.
It's like a scar in my heart. I'm out of time already? What?
Ugh. We sort of ran late with Scott Aukerman. That's our run.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Angela Lansbury is 89 years old today. Suzanne Summers. Remember her from Three's Company?
Sure.
She was, at one time, the hottest actress on television.
Yeah.
I mean, like, looks-wise and also popularity-wise. Could not be a bigger star than Suzanne Summers was.
I came across my departed grandpa one time, and he was watching Three's Company.
Mm.
And he looked like a kid that had just been caught doing something he wasn't supposed to do. And he
said, Grandpa's pants were down?
No, but he said, don't tell your grandma that I'm watching Three's Company.
She was awfully jiggly, right?
She was jiggly. She was braless on that show quite a bit.
What was her her product that she came out with,
Ralph? The Thighmaster.
She made hundreds of millions of dollars off
she
on those infomercials.
Ass load of cash on the Thighmaster. And then she came out with another one. She had a series of fitness.
But none
and
they're working, too, books, because she looks great.
She had the Thighmaster, the Buttmaster, I think was another one. Buttmaster. I mean, it was a movie.
Buttblaster was a movie that you read over
there.
Some other item to get you in shape.
Anyway, she looks good at 68. I think she's a cancer survivor. And she
had her house burned down, remember?
Yeah, for 68, she looks pretty. Buttmaster, there
you go. It's actually the Buttmaster. I thought you were making up something funny.
No, the Buttmaster. She had a whole line of things.
1995, she came up with the Buttmaster.
There you go.
Will this thing work for the inner thighs?
No, it works for your ass. Come on, Chrissy Snow. David Zucker, 68 years old today. Tim Robbins is 56. Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 52. And John Mayer celebrates his 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Look, I don't know much about anything, but I do know that most of the people listening to this broadcast are likely going to die of the Ebola. Hit it, Steve.
Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch a friend. No touching. No eating. Something's dangerous.
That's accurate. Would you say, Kevin?
I would say so, yeah.
At least 50% of the people listening right now are probably going to die of Ebola. And this is why I'm so frustrated, ahead of us going to Dr. Drew on the phone here, this is why I'm so frustrated that the media continues to lie to us. Listen to this on Fox News a couple of days ago with Shepard Smith.
Again, these are the facts. We do not have an outbreak of Ebola in the United States, nowhere. We do have two healthcare workers who contracted the disease from a dying man. They are isolated. There is no information to suggest that the virus has spread to anyone in the general population in America. Not one person in the general population in the United States. I report to you with certainty this afternoon that being afraid at all is the wrong thing to do. Being petrified, and that's a quote, is ridiculous. The panic that has tanked the stock market and left people fearful that their children will get sick at school is counterproductive and lacks basis in fact or reason. There is no Ebola spreading in America. Should that change, our reporting will change. But there is nothing to indicate that it will.
So he's lying to us over on Fox. Dr. Drew, you're lying to us over on CNN. Why won't you just tell us the truth about this Ebola?
I just love the fact that Fox is the one to come on and say that. That's fascinating to me. I'm sure the next moment when, because President Obama basically said the same thing, so believe me, Fox reporting will shift.
They can't agree with them, right?
Yeah, once they
find out they're on the same page with the president, they got to change.
They got to shift, and they got to blame it on him, naturally. I mean, that's going to happen immediately. But, I will continue to lie to you that you don't need to worry about this. However, what's fascinating to me is that there are lots of things you should be worried about. There's a nasty enterovirus out there that if I had a young child, I would be freaked out about.
What's that one? Before you move on?
That's the one that's killing the babies, right?
Yes, and causing sort of a polio-like syndrome, and it's contagious. It is serious business. There's a flu epidemic coming our way, and we should be vaccinating everybody. We're not, because people are so focused on Ebola and so fearful of vaccines. It's manifestations of all human irrationality going both directions, coming and going. I'm not going to protect myself against the thing that is coming. I'm going to worry about the thing that's not going to bother me. And my favorite of all is the idea that this is an airborne or going to become an airborne virus. I've talked to virologists, I've talked to infectious disease experts, and here's what they assure me. In the history of biology, there's no documented case of a virus evolving or morphing to becoming something that goes from something that can't be airborne to becoming airborne. Because for a virus to do that, it has to concentrate in the lung, It has to penetrate the barrier that's air sacs. It has to then find droplets that it can attach to. You have to then be a human that forms droplets, which many of us don't. The droplets then have to be able to sustain in the air, and the virus has to survive on that droplet in the air and then be able to penetrate another person's mucosal region and get to the other person. None of those things can this virus do, nor has it ever happened that one evolved where it could. So it's not going to happen.
Now, okay, but as Adam Carolla might say at this point, yeah, but still.
Yeah. Well, if you give me the yeah, but still, then I can't say. What can I say? But there will be an aerosolized airborne epidemic someday soon. And in a weird way, this is this slow motion exercise we're going through of finding the fact that we do have holes in our system, and we should be more proactive and not reactive to something like this. We should have much better policies and procedures in place. I really agree with that, and I can understand that people are kind of angry and frustrated with that, and maybe even fearful that, oh, the what ifs. But I think this exercise now has caused us to really shut down the holes in our system. So when there is a big epidemic, which is inevitable, guys, it's just the nature of biology, we'll be much better prepared for it.
But, Doctor, you're a fascinating person to talk to about this topic because you're A, a physician, but B, somebody who's in the media, and you're working for a channel, CNN proper, that is spending most of its hours on the air talking about the Ebola. Aren't they part of the problem? Aren't they the ones who are whipping people into a needless frenzy by this nonstop coverage of something that none of us are going to get?
Well, thankfully, on HLN, which is really where I work, we're not doing that. And I have it my liberty to speak as I please.
They don't come to you and say, here's the company line, Doc.
No, nobody said. They are taking a position where they like to focus on what's called breaking news, which is, you know, what's on top of mind, and just keep covering it and covering it. And people do want to hear about this. On CNN, HLN does not have a whole breaking news policy, so that's why we don't do it. But I was able to give my favorite Ebola virus quiz. Do you have Ebola? I gave the quiz on HLN. You want to find out if you have Ebola?
I'd be sort of interested. Yeah.
Well, here's the test. Here's the quiz. You ready?
All right.
Have you had direct contact with someone with Ebola with a fever and specifically touched their feces, urine, saliva, sweat, semen? Yes or no?
I'm a no on that.
I'm pretty sure I'm a no.
You do not have Ebola.
Okay. All right. That's the only way.
I hear you say that, but how did that healthcare worker in Texas who was wearing a hazmat suit get the Ebola then?
Well, what they're finding is the procedures with which they were using the suits was not quite right. If you touch the suit as you're taking it off, or it touches you in any way, and then whatever you touch gets to your face, you're done. And it looks, so when somebody, no one is saying that when someone is well into their illness, they aren't contagious. They are highly contagious then. But it's pretty easy to, you know, you have lots of time to figure it out, detect it, isolate them, and prevent the contacts. And that's why it's not spreading. And by the way, another good reminder is, you know, when you get on an aircraft or a bus or a plane or whatever your transportation vehicle might be, bring Clorox wipes with you. Clorox wipe is the thing that kills everything. You just wipe down the surfaces, and then you can forget about the enterovirus, you can forget about Ebola, you can forget about everything. Because that is how we protect ourselves. Wash your hands, and don't let your hands go to your face. That's the primary means of preventing infection, manifesting infection control.
Do you think we'll have more cases of Ebola in the United States before this epidemic is over, Doctor?
I'm pretty confident we will. Yeah.
How many, though? Because to me, it seems like a lot of, you know, airtime has been given to three or four people.
Yeah, I know. And somebody asked me, what's the over-under? and I think it's going to be probably in the dozens by the time we're all done. I think so. If we have less than that, what an amazing job we've done at keeping it out.
Right. Loveline, Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood on K-Rock, Sunday through Thursday nights at 10. And, of course, Dr. Drew's HLN show is must-see viewing Monday through Thursday night at 6. Thanks for the time, Doc. Hope you don't die of Ebola before we talk to you next week.
Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
That's nice, by the way. I know we don't play the Red Hot Chili Peppers very often, but in honor of Flea's birthday today, we did pull one out and play it today. So
blew that one off. And we sharpened up the needle and just dropped it there on the old turntable.
I thought we play them a lot.
What?
Is it our goal to make sure no one listens?
Oh, we accomplished that years ago.
It would seem like...
Luckily, we don't have to worry about listeners anymore.
Right.
Because we're doing just a show us. Just for us.
It's just us.
That's true.
Hey, Ralph is here to take us home with the final Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning Kevin Devine show. What's going on?
This week has been so great because we've been getting new foo stuff every night over there on the David Letterman show.
I say give them a nighttime show and just have them perform every night. I love it.
We've been traveling down their sonic highways as we pay tribute to their TV series that's going to be on HBO soon. Also, their new CD. But let's see. Monday night, we visited Nashville. Seattle was Tuesday night with the band Heart. Last night, very cool. I'm a big fan of pioneering swamp rocker Tony Joe White.
I don't know that person.
Tony Joe White was one of those guys from Louisiana who sort of created this genre of music. It's known as swamp rock. And it's kind of country, kind of blues, kind of rock and roll, sort of an amalgamation of all those formats. Most famously, he did a song called Poke Salad Annie, which Elvis Presley very successfully covered at one point in his career.
Poke Salad?
Poke Salad Annie.
Annie.
Poke Salad. Is like turnip greens down there in Louisiana, and they pick it out of the ground and they eat it. The poor folk eat it.
Okay.
Because they don't have a lot of...
And it's named Annie?
Poke Salad. No, Poke Salad is the name of it. And then the song's about a girl named Annie who goes out and picks the poke salad.
I see. Okay.
So the band got together, and they had a great horn section. Here's a little taste of Tony Joe White joining Foo Fighters for Poke Salad. Down in Louisiana, where the alligator rules so main.
Nothing the Foo Fighters can't play.
There's no genre, no kind of music, first of all, that they don't appreciate and love, and then also can play with the best of that genre. Craziness. Craziness.
I got to tell you, too, for a band that was focused on every night this week on Letterman, Dave Grohl is perfectly happy to give somebody else a spotlight.
Dave,
and that's cool.
Share the lead vocals in that song with him, but I thought I'd play something for
that's
Tony
fine.
Joe because you know.
But Heart, he let them sing it.
He let them sing. He's very, very happy to back
cool.
up
yeah.
his favorite artists and people that he appreciates. He likes being behind the scenes. It was great last night. And also, they did a very funny commercial. I don't know if you saw the commercial.
I did not, no.
For their new law firm.
They have a law firm?
The Foo Fighters.
I'm not aware of this.
I think you'll enjoy this.
Are you running out of options in your fight against Foo? At Grohl, Hawkins, Mendel, Shiflett, Smear & Associates, we've been fighting Foo for over 25 years.
We'll fight Foo day and night to make sure you receive the compensation that you deserve.
Don't try and fight Foo by yourself. Call our toll-free number today.
Just listen to this satisfied customer.
I tried to fight Foo without success for years.
Dave.
Then I called Grohl, Hawkins, Mendel, Shiflett, Smear & Associates. I was awarded a cash settlement of $5 million.
So don't wait. Call today. We
fight Foo
for
you.
Yeah.
All right.
Very funny. They did like a cheesy lawyer commercial. It was very entertaining.
Better call Dave.
Oh, they're the best. Why are they so good?
We're going to talk to Dave Grohl tomorrow morning on the Kevin and
Bean
Show.
They are better than us.
No, we won't.
They are good. We are bad.
Oh, no question.
Christian Bale's in the talks and starring in a new film about the life of Steve Jobs. Ooh, risky Christian Bale to take on a role that's already been tackled by Ashton Kutcher. I don't know if you want to.
That's just me.
I don't even want to be on the bad side of that comparison.
No! No!
I want to be on the dipping side of that scale. Yeah, they're doing a movie at Sony based on the founder of the Apple computer. Leonardo DiCaprio was supposed to star. He backed out. So I think Christian would be a better choice, quite frankly. He looks more like him.
Yeah, I guess.
He's got that stature. I think he'd be brilliant in the role. Anyway, I'm all for it.
You sound underwhelmed by that project existing, Kevin. You're not interested in Steve
Jobs?
Oh,
no, I'm interested in it.
Fascinating.
I'm interested in it, yeah.
Green Day has something special planned for some of their hardcore fans. Tune in Tokyo was recorded live in Japan back in 2011. But they are going to make only 5,000 pressings on vinyl available for November the 28th, Black Friday, if you want to do some Christmas shopping. 5,000 transparent blue vinyl pressings will be available in small local independent record stores all over America. So if you want the new Green Day vinyl, which is them live in Tokyo back in 2001, you're going to have to make sure you get your local independent record store on Black Friday to pick that up.
Might want to do a little research ahead of time on where that store is.
Yeah, you might
There aren't
to.
A lot of them.
There aren't, so you got to find the one near you and see if they're going to be carrying
this. Open up
this
a blog.
Right. That's right. Ask that guy. He'll tell you. His has since closed. And Love Gun by Kiss.
Yes.
It's finally...
Love Gun! That one? We're not sure.
Give us some more.
We're not
sure. And we'll see if we recognize it or not.
What's going on with Love Gun? I love that song. I love that album.
The sixth studio album by Kiss is finally getting some respect. That classic album is being remastered with a bonus disc for a new 2-CD set that comes out on October the 27th.
Sweet.
The original album gets a proper remastering on disc one, and then demos and previously unreleased live tracks and stuff like that will be on disc two. Joe Elliott of Jeff Leppard apparently wrote brand new liner notes for the package because he's such a huge fan. So
I believe Love Gun was the album that also included Christine 16, Ralph.
It was, yeah.
I don't remember that song, though. As
yeah,
how'd
that go?
How
did you remember? Go.
Christine 16!
That one.
Yeah, what other songs were on that album? Do you remember any of the Kiss songs?
I'm not sure that I have at my fingertips. I'm sorry.
No, come on. You know.
You know. You're a lifelong Kiss fan.
You're a big Kiss
fan. I am. I love
the
Kiss.
Yeah,
what other Kiss Army. But...
Give us some deeper tracks off of that Love Gun
I don't
album.
Recall. I really, I don't.
Right,
I don't
pull it up. Pull it up on your computer and then tell us.
I don't know that I need to sit here and sing Love Gun songs all day.
I think you do, A. And B, Ralph will do another story, give you time to pull it up, and then we'll come back to you for a little Kiss.
I'm looking at it, but I don't...
at it already? Good. We don't need another story. Here's Bean now.
With Kiss.
They did do the awesome cover of Then He Kissed Me on that album, Then She Kissed Me.
Don't recognize
awesome.
The name
yeah,
of
how
it.
How does that go? Hmm.
The first step of the cure is a kiss.
That one, remember that one? Plaster Caster was on that album. Shock Me was on that album. That was a great song.
How's Plaster Caster
I don't remember
go?
Plaster
How's Shock
Caster.
Me go?
I don't know that well enough to sing. But that was about Plaster Caster, about the lady who used to do the plaster of the penises. Remember, Ralph?
That's right. She was a groupie who would...
Cynthia, yeah.
Bed a rock and roll guy, and then she would...
Cynthia.
Cynthia would... She would get you excited, and then she would... Encase you in plaster to make a mold of your that.
She had Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison. She had all the greats.
As a souvenir. And then she would make you happy that you spent some time with her.
All right.
She was known as the Plaster Caster.
Well, I'm in.
I don't recognize the song title, though. I mean, I might recognize the song.
I can't sing it for you. I'm sorry. But I am in on the re-release of Love Gun. That's good news.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Angela Lansbury is 89 years old today. Suzanne Summers is 68. David Zucker celebrates his 67th birthday today. Tim Robbins is 56. Flea, as we mentioned, from Red Hot Chili Peppers, celebrates his 52nd birthday today. And singer John Mayer celebrates his 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. This is a little too much for us, I think. And I'm not positive that we're going to be able to handle it, myself especially. Sean White will be in studio. He's got a big announcement for you.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Dave Grohl about... Foo Fighters' new album, and the HBO show, which debuts tomorrow night at 11 o'clock. Wow. We have Jorge Gutierrez on the program talking about the Book of Life. We have the creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman.
What?
That's cool.
Coming in studio, we've got week 7 picks for the NFL with RJ Bell, who has been unreal.
Yeah, he made a lot of money if you follow his picks.
Man, oh man, he's been good. And the movie beat all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.